You're so wonderful. We welcome you and your presence in this place. We thank you that you have given us eyes to see and ears to hear this morning. Truth, great things about who you are and that and what you've called us to live and be and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to start with a story. Early in the month, I got it together and I bought some gifts for my two grandchildren. They live out in Kansas City. And Cassie called me about a week later whenever the package showed up. And I had actually wrapped the kids' gifts. I wrapped them because I know Mama wasn't going to get to it. So she told me, "Your box came, Mom." And we opened it up and she was telling my grandson, who's 3 and a half, "This is from Amy. And you can put it under the tree for later." That was, okay, number one, there's another story to that. So he's walking, and I have three little gifts, plus I stuff the box with stickers. All throughout the year, I just shove stickers in a bag, and then once a year, I just do a zillion of them. So he's walking, he's undoing the stickers, and he's walking each gift, and he's putting them under the tree. And he goes, "Mom, which one of these gifts is from Amy that has chocolate in it?" I didn't buy any chocolate. I spent money, and I thought, next year, you know, I could save a whole lot of money and time, just wrap up some chocolate for the kid. And because in his eyes, the best gift was chocolate. I don't know where he got that. I wonder where he learned that. Okay, so if you're taking notes, and I always encourage you, just write these down. You can look at them later. You can talk about it at lunchtime. Sure, Pastor D. But anyway, here's the big picture, the big idea, the main idea that I want you to have a better understanding like never before. And it goes like this. Ready? Since God gave us his best, we should give him our best. Like, no-brainer, Pastor D. Ah, stick around here, okay? So the best gift, obviously, everybody, all time, who is the best gift? Jesus. Jesus is the best gift, amen? So, but you know, sometimes we can sit there and think, well, okay, God gave us the best gift, Jesus. What gift can I give God? And you know, we had our wise men and stuff, and we'll talk more about that. But what gift can I give him that's a good gift? So I was thinking, this happened to a girlfriend of mine a year ago. So let me tell you this. Her best friend was going to be home for the holidays. She had moved away. I think she moved out to Colorado. So her best friend, Karen, was going to be home. So they made plans to get together for lunch. So my friend Barb got to the place for lunch. And I don't know if it was Panera or whatever, because, you know, at the holidays, we eat salads so we can eat junk later on. There's a real strategy to it. So Barb got there early, and she got a card, a Christmas card. She actually got a funny card, because when she and Karen were kids, they were a hoot. They're your mother's nightmare, but they were absolutely hysterical. So she bought this funny card and wrote down some funny stories. And she is sitting there at the restaurant waiting for Karen to come in. Karen finally shows up, and she goes, Karen walks in with a bag, a gift, and a card. So my friend Barb stands up and gives her a hug and slides her card into her purse. And she says, "Hey, Karen, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the restroom." Okay? So she's in the restroom, and she pulls out her card that she got. And her friend Karen came with a gift, but she pulled out her card, and she's like, "Well, maybe I can just kind of open it up a little bit and slide a 20 in or something like that." So she starts sticking her finger in there, and all of a sudden, it rips. And she opened it up just this much, and she said, "Well, I think I can just kind of wiggle. I'll fold up this 20. Well, maybe I should give her more, because, you know, I don't know what kind of gift she got me." So she tries wadding up. Well, she put the card in that way so the money wouldn't go in it. So finally, she's like, "I'm just going to rip this thing." So she licks it, puts it back in her purse, and she walks out, and they have lunch, and Karen says, "Oh, Barb, I got you something." And Barb's like, "I didn't know we were going to exchange gifts." She says, "No, I got you something because I wanted to. Because I wanted to." So we're going to talk about gifts and I wanted to, all right, today. I wanted to. And we're going to go through the story and the kids, sort of our stories, Christmas stories. So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. And you know, I get it. Sometimes we're thinking, oh, what should I get this person? But more importantly, what gift can I give God? Or what gift should I give God? And there are gifts that we should give God every day of our life. And we're going to go through a couple of them. So are you all over at Matthew? I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 2. This is the story of the wise men. They're called the Magi. And what we're going to see is why are these gifts so significant? Not just at their time, but where they can be significant in our time. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus was born in Judea during the reign of King Herod. Boo, bad guy. About that time, some wise men or magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Okay. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests, the Jewish priests, okay? A leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and asked them, "Where is the Messiah going to be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet wrote." He's going to get ready to quote from Micah 5:2. And this is a prophecy about Jesus being born 100 years before. There's a prophecy that tells about it. And this is how it goes. He says, reading on. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judea. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people." Praise God. Verse 6. "Then Herod called a private meeting with the wise men, the Magi, and he learned from them what time when the star first appeared." They actually saw that star 2 years ago. So that means Jesus is about 2 years old, okay? And it took them, they didn't fly. They had to get on their caravan. It took them that long to follow this and the star, all right? So verse 8. "Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search,'" this is Herod, "'go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back, tell me so I can worship him.'" Liar, liar, liar. He is lying. He's out to kill this king that would thought he would take the throne, all right? So verse 9. "After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. And when it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests." I don't know, but my Christmas cards have these little dinky things. Anybody get little dinky things those three wise men are carrying? And I'm like, read your scriptures, you Hallmark people. It says treasure chests. Okay, so they opened up. Sorry, it's just me this morning. They opened up their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those are actually three little literal gifts that these wise men gave a child. Okay, and these gifts have significance for us today, and we're going to talk about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the cool thing, these are gifts that they gave this child, but we can give him, think about this, we can give Jesus these gifts every single day. Every single day. So the first gift, if you're taking notes, is myrrh, we're going to talk about. Isn't that Miranda's nickname? Myrrh? Oh, there you are. That's what they call you. I know, I put you on the spot. You love me. Okay, write this down. Not Miranda. Myrrh. First gift is myrrh. And myrrh reminds us to give God the gift of us. Everybody say us. Now say me. This gift is to remind us to give him the gift of me. Amen. All right. Now, myrrh in the Old Testament was used to prepare a body for burial. It was used to put on bodies before they buried him. Okay. Now, why is it symbolic to us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Just write this down. It's Galatians 2:20. When we accept Jesus into our life, we say, and this says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So it's what it's saying is when you ask Jesus into your life, you're coming to your place where you just go, I surrender. I surrender. You own me. And I surrender, okay? And it is a big moment when you get to that place, all right? Now, let me tell you another story. I got good stories today. This just happened this past week. I have a dear friend, and she comes from this big whopping Italian family. I think they had 6 or 8 kids, and it was her year she was hosting it. And by the way, everybody's smart. Everybody brings a turkey and a ham and all the fixings and stuff. But they got great grandparents, grandparents, grandkids, and my girlfriend and her siblings and kids, and it's loud. Anybody going to a holiday thing where it's loud? Well, I'm sure this is loud. And there's a crowd. There's just all over the place. And her granddaughter, who's about 6, 7, can't remember, goes up to her great grandfather and says, "Grandpappy, do you want to play goldfish with me?" And she grabs his hand, he didn't get time to answer, and she takes him over to the front room. Now, the front room is the formal room, which you don't drink in and you don't eat in. And it's probably the only quiet place in the house. And she sits down on the floor, and they're got the coffee table. He's sitting on the couch, the sofa, and they play goldfish for half an hour. Just half an hour. And listen, guys, he's just playing goldfish. We don't know where Grandpappy is. And this little 6, 7-year-old. The next day, he comes down. He's staying at my girlfriend's house. He comes down, the great-grandpa, and he goes, "I will remember this day forever." And that's how it is with God. This girl didn't give him a gift she bought. She gave him time. How about everything? All right? So one of the greatest gifts you can give every day to the Lord is I surrender. You own me. Now, somebody says it's harder for men to do that. I don't know. You own me. You can be the boss. I don't know. I think it's hard for everybody, but it will change your life. It will change your life to get up every day and go, God, I surrender. I'm not my own, and you own me. So that's one of the greatest gifts we can give. All right. So here we go. Open up to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It's probably a scripture I read once a month to y'all. Should be able to stand up and memorize it here. But here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Who is he talking to? Yeah, us-ins. If you're a believer, he's talking to you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Ready? In view of God's mercy. What is God's mercy? God's mercy is everything that God has done for you. He sent his son. He died on a cross. He's forgiven you. You don't have to work for it. So in view of all those mercies, and really it's chapters 1 through 11 in Romans. He goes through all this. So here we go again. He says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. This is your true and proper worship. Another way of saying this is the foundation of worship. I surrender. I surrender. Listen, I love being a boss. Anybody raise your hand if you like being a boss? The rest of you are liars. Come on. Okay. Especially your mamas. I love being a boss. But this, I surrender. Okay. Now, I'm going to, so myrrh represents I surrender. I'm yours. You own me. I'm going to read you another scripture. Just jot down Matthew chapter 10. This scripture, I don't know how many, for the first 20 years, I read this thing wrong. And you might too, and no shame, because it took me 20 years to figure it out. But a lot of times we're going to read this scripture and we think it has to do with salvation, how you go to heaven, and it's not. It's not. Okay, and Jesus wants us to understand this. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Matthew 10, verse 39. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will save it. Again, we see that word save and we think about salvation. But in this particular place, that's not what it's talking about. It actually means to discover yourself. In this particular place, that's what that word means. So what he's saying, if you cling to your life, I'm the boss, I'm calling the shots. Anybody ever do that? I do that a lot, okay? Okay, I'm the boss, I'm calling the shots. And he's saying, if you do that, you will never know your purpose in life. You will never know what God has planned for you. You'll just never do. But, everybody say but. But if you go like this and you say, I lose my life, I surrender my life, I don't own my life. And he's saying, there's a reward. How many like rewards? I love rewards, okay? You got a little sticker card to go such and such store, and they click it, and all of a sudden you get a free reward, okay? So don't tell me you don't like rewards. But this scripture has a reward to it. And you know what the reward is? And the gift, this is like the when I give my gift of worship, my gift of surrender, there's a reward to it. God just moves in. And I found out he is a better boss than I am. Astounding, just astounding, right? He is, okay? So everybody say, God, I'm yours. I surrender. Okay, here's our second gift. Ready? Gold. Like gold. Anybody like gold? All right. This is what gold reminds us. Ready? Gold reminds us to give God the gift of honor. Honor. I just finished reading an amazing book by John Bevere called Honor. Get it? We're going to do it in some of our grow groups, but honor, okay? So honor. How many of you know Jesus is called the King of Kings? Amen. That means he's the king of the universe. He's king. He's king. All right. Now in Bible days, if you could go visit the king, you brought him a gift, and usually it's gold. So gold is something you brought to the king. It's valuable. It is amazing. All right. So you would bring your gift of gold to the king, and it symbolizes God, you are king. Jesus, you are king. All right. Now, gold says he's king in our life. Okay, let me give you a scripture, okay, before I go any far. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is kind of one of our famous Christmas scriptures. You'll probably go, oh yeah, Pastor D, I know that. But turn over to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, all right? So remember, gold symbolizes that I honor the king. I honor the king, all right? Here we are, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Alrighty, now this talks about the deity of Jesus, the king, all right? So we've got a child here that's born in a manger, but then it says a son. And who's the son that was born? His name was Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the everlasting. He has no beginning or end. He knows everything. And God says, I have given a king. That's just awesome. Now, Jesus, think about this. Here's Jesus. He's everlasting, eternal. He's before time. He's just been there. And he comes to the planet as a babe in a manger. And he grows up. And it says he has experienced all of life and all that you'll experience. Anybody figure that one out? You read that? Yeah. So, it says he overcame every temptation and every pain, and he came and he died for us, okay? And then it goes on to say, the next part, it says, the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government. That's a king verse. The government shall be on his shoulders. That's a king verse. And listen, there is coming a time. How many of you know that Jesus is coming back? I just talked to somebody yesterday. I wish he'd come back today. I was like, no, I'm not ready. Okay, but I have people that I need to know Jesus, okay? But he is coming back, all right? So that's a king verse. Then the government shall be on his shoulders, and these will be his royal titles. These will be his kingly names. These will be names that describe him. But listen, when we honor those names and walk those in our life, there's a blessing for us. How many like blessings? How many like rewards? Okay? So I'm not that dumb. I want to do this, okay? So there is a reward and a blessings every time we walk in these names. So these names are kind of important. I'm just going to go through them quickly. And by the way, I got up real early, had a lot of coffee, and I know a particular person is going to tell me you're talking too fast, but I just can't help it, okay? Just can't help it, okay? First one, if you're taking notes, wonderful. Well, I'm going to read all of them and then we'll go through them. What, he will be his royal titles, King Jesus. These are his titles. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All right, wonderful. In the Hebrew, this is what they say. He is so amazing, there's no words to describe him. He's just that wonderful. How's that for a definition? Just so wonderful. I don't have words. I don't have words on how amazing, wonderful he is, okay? So the second one, so when you honor him, let's go back. So when you honor him as wonderful, that means I am not so wonderful and he is wonderful. Amen, okay? And when you give him that gift of honor to the king, I will tell you, he will bless your life in ways you'll just walk by and go, whoo, what a day. All right? But it talks about honor. Okay, the next one is called Counselor. Counselor. He's called the Counselor. Now, there's nothing that you are going through in your life that he does not know or have wisdom to fix. The Bible says in James, if you lack for wisdom, ask and he will give you a ton. Okay? Why? Because he's the great counselor. He's all-knowing. He knows the future. And he knows enough to help you. There we go. Help. Sometimes I go, help. Okay. Here's the third one. He says he's called Mighty God. Mighty God. Okay. What does that mean? This is my definition. He's the greatest warrior. That's the only way I could get it. Mighty God, what does that mean? He's the greatest warrior. So that tells me any battle that you're in the middle of, any fight that you're in the middle of, he's going to help you through it. He'll help you through it. How many have had a week with a battle? Anybody have a week with a battle? Praise God. He'll help you through it, okay? So one of his names is Mighty God. He's the greatest warrior. Okay, here's the next one, Everlasting Father. So everlasting, there's no beginning or again, he's always existed, he's everlasting. But did you get the last word? Father. He's Everlasting Father. So if you've ever said, I wish I had a father that did blank, blank, blank. I wish I had a father. He is the father. He wants to be your father. He loves you and will love you like a son or your girl. He'll love you like a daughter. He is the Everlasting Father. Praise God. So you don't have to say, well, I never. Or he was, yeah, you have an everlasting father. So good, so good. Okay, next one, last one. Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace. There's actually two kinds of peace, external and internal. External and internal, okay? And here's what's cool that we get to look forward to. Someday in the future, Jesus is coming back. I don't know when. I can't predict it, but I know he's coming back because I read my Bible. All right, he's coming back, all right? And when he comes back, he says he's going to rule on the earth, and his throne will be in Jerusalem. And while his throne is in Jerusalem, if you've received Jesus into your life, he says you will rule and reign with him. There's no slackers. You don't get time off. We're in action mode when he comes back. Okay, we're going to rule and reign with him. Praise God. We're going to rule and reign with him. Okay, and it also talks about, and this one, I go in silly places. Y'all heard me before. But he says, we'll have new bodies. If you've asked Jesus in your life, you'll have new bodies. So I've already picked out a size. Every decade, I kind of go higher because I'm like, nah, that ain't happening. But you'll be like your 20 or 25-year-old body, and you'll do things because this is a glorified body. And you can walk through walls, and just you can eat anything, and it's just way cool. This is just me on a silly day. But I know God is going to give me this glorified body, and I will rule and reign with him. And it is going to be a blast. Nothing boring. Nothing boring, okay? So there'll be a peace. There'll be peace going on here. Now, how many of you know this world is so dang crazy? It's just crazy world out there. Okay, we've got North Korea that just thinks it should start nuking people. And we've got Iran or Iraq, and they just think we're the great Satan. And we've got just crazy going on there. And then we've got just conflict even going on in our nation, all right? And if that's not good enough, anybody ever just have the week of storms? You know, just things happen. By the way, so I'm not lost. I'm going down this road. All roads lead to wherever here. This week, Wednesday, I got here early and I'm running around the building and we're doing this and that. And about halfway through the day, and I'd been in this room. I went in our mechanical room, a.k.a. junk room. It's where you store everything you don't know what to put. It's downstairs. And all of a sudden, I hear slosh, slosh. I look down, there's water on the floor. And I'm like, so you know how you pick the lesser of evils? Well, maybe because the adjoining room is our men's room. Well, maybe it's just a toilet. To me, that wouldn't be too bad. And I walk in the boys' room, and there's nothing. Those floors are dry. So I go back in the mechanical room, and I'm like, well, maybe it's just a pipe. I know how to fix pipes. You put that blue stuff on there and glue it together, right? You don't want me fixing your pipes, but I watch, okay? So I look up, and there's not one single pipe where above me where this water is. And then I just take about 6 feet down, and there's that hot water heater. There's water all over the floor coming out of that thing. So I just want to say I had a little bit of a storm here. And I made a phone call. Brenton! Because he heads up our department. And by the way, funny joke on that one. So the week before, I must have called Brenton every day, twice a day. And Brenton, you know what Brenton says to me all the time? And Susan's cool with it. By the way, Susan and Brenton are down in the nursery. They volunteer once a month in the nursery. They're just so funny. But so I hadn't called Brenton one whole day, 24 hours. I thought, man, I haven't called Brenton in 24 hours. Next day comes and I'm like, I haven't called Brenton in 48 hours. The next day, whatever that is, 38 hours. And I thought, you know, it'd be really nice if I called Brenton up instead of telling him, Brenton, this broke, get over here. Just call him up. Hey, Brenton, how's your family? What's going on? But I didn't, because the third day came and I called him. I said, hey, we got water over here and it's a hot water heater. But anyway, so I had a little bit of a storm going on, but I will tell you, I know the Prince of Peace, and I started laughing, and then I started saying, shoo, that could have happened on Sunday. I know, and you know why I could do that? I know the Prince of Peace, and I let him in my life, and I let him go through my life. Anybody ever let him go through your life where couple years ago, it wouldn't have been like that. Amen. Okay, you all good. So we honor Jesus, the Prince of Peace. All right. So honor. So gold represents honor. When I honor the King, I know that he can fix any problem I have. When I honor the King, I know that he'll help me through any hot water heater. When I honor the King, listen, he can do all the I can't do's because I honor the King. Amen. Praise God, Pastor D, praise God. All right, so myrrh is God, I surrender, you own me. Gold is God, I honor you, I honor Jesus the King. All right, here's our last one, frankincense. Ask any kid what that word, just say, they'll say Frankenstein. I was teaching preschool for years and they go Frankenstein. I said, no, it's frankincense, and they just go Frankenstein. So frankincense, that's really what it is. Frankincense, okay, frankincense reminds us to give God the gift of worship, right? Down. The gift of worship. So frankincense in the Old Testament, when you read about it, it's an incense that they would burn in the tabernacle or church. Okay? And it's a beautiful smell. So the Bible says, I haven't burnt any. It's a beautiful smell. The Bible also says that frankincense and that incense that they would burn is a type of prayers. Okay, it says our prayers are a beautiful smell unto the Lord. It also says that incense, when it's burned, that frankincense is a type of worship. It's a type of worship. So one of the greatest gifts you can give God is the gift of worship. Now, right now, guys are like, oh, gosh, I'm a guy. What do you think Brenton is? And Nevin is. They're up there worshiping. And where was Harrison? Harrison, I'll get my guys up there, okay? All right. So myrrh, we see surrender. Gold, we see honor. But frankincense is, I give you the gift of worship. I give you the gift of worship, okay? And this is a wonderful thing. If you give God the gift of worship, he will do amazing things in your life that day. You start your day just worshiping him, okay? So open up to John, is it John? John chapter 4. I'm going to give you the Cashman short version of this. John chapter 4, Jesus is at the well. We're going to get there, so open up your Bibles. John chapter 4, verse 23. But Jesus is at a well. You know, they didn't have Burger King that you could drive by and pull over, but they would have wells at certain points. And this is a really particular one. It's an old one. And he is sitting around the well, and his disciples have gone into town. And the story goes that Jesus is sitting at this well, and a woman comes at noontime. Now, you're like, no big deal. Oh, it is a big deal, because that is highly unusual for a woman to be at a well, that well, at noontime. Okay, and what's even more unusual, too, the story goes on, she is a Samaritan woman, and Jesus is talking to her, but what you got to know, the background is the Jews dislike the Samaritans. They just didn't like them. Okay, and it had gone on for hundreds of years, and some of the reason is they were half Jews, the Samaritans, and these Samaritans kind of goofed up the Jewish religion on things that they were implementing. Okay, and just take me for my word, as they just Jews just didn't like the Samaritans. All right, they didn't like them, and also to make the icing on the cake, this woman who is a Samaritan, she's not liked by any of her folks, her people, the Samaritans. Matter of fact, she's an outcast. She is not liked by her own people. Okay, she's sort of I hate to say this, a low life. All right, that's how her people saw her. All righty, so she came to this well at noontime to get water. Because everybody else, all the other ladies, go in the morning. And if I go in the afternoon, noontime, they won't be there. They won't make fun of me. They won't say nasty things to me. So I'm going to go to this well at noontime. So she goes to this well at noontime. And noontime, it's stinking blazing hot. Okay? So I'd be up there early, get my water. But she goes to avoid all of this. And there's Jesus. And they start to have a conversation. Jesus, a Jew, is having a conversation with a woman, a Samaritan woman, and I would say he doesn't know, but you know Jesus knows everything about her. So they're having this conversation, and I think she gets a little uppity. It's just me. She goes, "We Samaritans, we worship over here. And you Jews, you worship over here. What's the deal?" And Jesus probably just looks her right in the eyes, says, "Hey, it has nothing to do with location. Where you worship has everything to do with your heart." With your heart. Worship, okay? So, you all over John chapter 4, verse 23? By the way, this is red letter in your Bible. So, who's doing the talking? Jesus. Jesus is talking, all right? Now, I'm going to read two of famous verses here, okay? So, here we go. John chapter 4, 23. "Yet a time is coming and has now come." Ta-da! "When true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and truth. And they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So we're going to talk about this unique kind of worship. And some of you do it. I know. I open my eyes sometime and turn around and watch. And other views, you just don't know. But I want to talk about this unique kind of worship, all right? Now, the last part of that phrase, he says, "They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." So the Father is seeking this unique kind of worshiper. Now, sometimes you can think, well, God's just, you know, if I don't worship like that, he's just a maniac. He's just going to have a bad day. Who knows? He's going to chuck lightning bolts down. No, 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 no. The reason why God wants you to worship that day is it will bring blessings in your life. If you get to that place from your heart, and we'll talk more, it will bring blessings in your life throughout your day. All right? Take, for instance, Well, let me give you this scripture. Psalm 22:3. It says, God inhabits the praises of his people. I'm going to change the word. God inhabits the worship of his people. Anybody know that scripture? All right. So inhabit means he is enthroned and sitting upon the worship of his people. All right. So there's nothing like true worship from your heart, and it will bring better than chocolate candy in your life. Dark chocolate, okay? It will bring life to your soul. And it's not weird. Everybody say, not weird. And I've seen weird. I've seen weird, but this is not weird, okay? So how many of you on any given Sunday, we will worship God, we'll sing four songs usually, and then by the end of the worship time, don't you feel better? How many feel better after a worship time? Yeah, yeah. So when you worship him, he will do things in you. And some days I'm like, you're really stupid if you don't come to church for worship. You really are. Because you just feel better right from there. Even if you don't like one word that I say afterwards, it will do something to your soul. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Praise God. Pastor D, be nice. Okay, I'll be nice. All right. So, praise God. I'm going to read verse 24 this time out of the Message Bible. And I picked this because it does a really good job in interpreting the Greek out of this. Here it goes. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirit, their true selves in adoration. Okay? I will say it is easy to worship God here. Okay? I read the words and I'm singing and I'm clapping. Okay? But you have to start there. You start there. All right? I'm not. Okay? But if you can move from there where you worship from your heart, it's heartfelt. It will do something in you like never before, okay? And here's, guys, I learned this probably about 40 years ago. You're that old? Yeah. I have special privileges because I'm over 65. Praise God. But about 40 years ago, I had already met Jack. I had already gotten married. I finally got a Bible. I knew who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was. That was about it. I came out of a denominational religion that didn't give you a Bible and never encouraged you to read a Bible, so that's why I was dumb. But I finally started reading my Bible, and we're going to a church sort of like this. It just, especially for praise and worship, it was like this. And I would just be clapping and singing and clapping and singing. I finally got to a place where I'd raise my hand and clapping and singing. And I'm just clapping and singing, but I am surfing while I'm singing. Ooh, she changed the color of her hair this week. Woo! Wonder where they are. Oh, I didn't see so-and-so. And I'm still clapping and singing, okay? So, and I'm singing with all my gutso, okay? And clapping and singing. But it wasn't my heart, okay? There's a difference. True worshipers. And then probably later on that year, we're out in Tulsa, later on the year, it was a midweek service. Yeah, they used to do midweek services. People would pack them out. It's a midweek service, but actually it was a low attendance. There wasn't a lot of people there. And Brother Doyle Tucker, Doyle Tucker was the worship leader. This fantastic black gentleman on the keys. And he stops through the worship service, and he says, y'all just sit down, just sit down. And he starts teaching about worship. And I'm like, yeah, I was clapping and singing. And probably talking to me, and he said, I want you to imagine that you are walking into the presence of God. And sure, I'm going to read the words, okay, but I want you to imagine that you are walking into the presence of God, and you're going to worship him. And listen, guys, God gave out imaginations. He's the creator of life, and it was his design. And sure, we got people doing bad things with their imaginations, but listen, we have an imagination for good things. So so Brother Doyle said, I want you all to stand right now, and he's playing the keys. Oh my gosh, I just love that man. And he's playing the keys, and he says, I want you to imagine that you're in the presence of God. And he started playing the keys, and he says, now I want you to sing. As you see the presence of God, God, the King, Jesus, the King of Kings, the one who's washed you, made you holy and blameless, the one who calls you friend, the one who has crowned you with just amazing things. I want you to see yourself in the presence of God. And that day, or that night rather, for the first time in my life, I worshiped. And time stood still. You ever do that? You're just some, I do that when I'm driving. That doesn't count. All of a sudden I'm bing, time stood, where am I? Okay. But Pastor D, why'd you say that? I'm sorry. Back up. I was thinking about that. Okay. But really, you get to a place where you're worshiping him out of your being. It's called your spirit man, your being. And can you imagine, amen, that I'm in his presence. How could I not worship him? And all I'm going to tell you is it just, man, times stand still. Praise God. And God says, I am looking for people to worship me, spirit and truth. And that's all it is. So I've asked my worship team, and they're not here. Because I finished so early. Where am I? Oh, there they are. I'm so sorry. Come on up. Praise God. I didn't see you back there. Let's thank, Father, I thank you for my worship teams, all of them. Praise God. Because you have heard me sing. It is so much better. Praise God. Now, I will tell you, there are days I still go, oh, my gosh, are they, you know, and my brain's whirling, and I'm not thinking about worshiping him, that I'm standing before him. There are days sometimes, but when I shift gears, that first gear, and just go into fourth, up there, and it's just.